Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm very excited about my next guest. Neil McCabe works for the Tennessee Star, and he's a journalist there. And I have to say, I'm having him on for a very specific story that he sent me. And then today, he added in, he said, you know, Grace, we could also talk about the upcoming speech by Joe Biden. And I almost said, you know what, Neil? I think you've just ruined this. I don't think I'm going to have you on because I don't want to talk about Joe. No, I'm just kidding. I would love to talk about everything with Neil McCabe. He's the best in the business. Neil, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Hashtag buzzkill.
I mean, Neil, I'm not going to watch it live. Are you?
I'll probably listen to it. But the thing that I'm really curious about is it's like, you know, it's like, why does someone, you know, watch the Indianapolis 500 for, I don't know, was it 12 hours? I don't even know how long these races are. Like 12 hours you sit there because you just want to see one really great crash. And that's what I'm interested in. You know, it's the second biggest mistake that Trump made during the campaign was in the first debate. He kept interrupting Biden instead of just letting him sort of drool and ramble on. And we saw, you know, he sort of gave Biden that space in the second debate. And, you know, it's like, and he said a lot of crazy things, convoluted things. We saw his performance at his press conference. And so I'm really curious to see how this will turn out because, frankly, he's not up to the job. And his minders are really keeping him on a tight leash, a much tighter leash than he keeps his own dogs, by the way.
Yes, yes. And he's pulling their tails and everything. So I believe you with that, Neil McCabe. Let's talk a little bit about the future of the Republican Party. I know you have a pretty good pulse on this. And there seems to be this narrative that there's infighting between Republicans. But I think that most Republicans are actually on the same page. What do you think about that?
Right. I remember when John Lakin ran for governor and he lost the primary, and in his speech he said that he was hoping for party unity. And I remember thinking to myself, the guy got 20% of the vote. The party is united, John. It's united against you.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, Liz Cheney represents, you know, this faction of rebels, these 10 Republicans that in the House that voted to impeach Donald Trump. Well, there are 210 Republicans, so that's like 5%. So 95% of House Republicans voted not to impeach Trump. This is, you know, the party is united. The problem is that Kevin McCarthy, as the leader of the House Republicans, had a chance when House conservatives basically forced a vote inside the conference to basically throw Cheney out of her job because of her impeachment and because of her constantly saying that Trump is a criminal. And McCarthy backed Cheney.
Yeah.
About 60 Republicans voted to oust her. But that was McCarthy's chance. And I've talked about this before with you, is this idea of the coward's choice. And McCarthy took the coward's choice and he backed Cheney. And now Cheney is a loose cannon, basically running to be the next speaker and doing whatever she wants. And McCarthy just has to watch it. And the Republicans just had a retreat in Orlando, and they did not invite Trump to come to the retreat. And it's absolutely stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And at the same time, 2.5 hours down the road in Palm Beach, Trump had a fundraiser for the House Conservative Fund. And that, of course, is the Political Action Committee tied to the House Freedom Caucus, which, of course, was founded by Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows.
And Neil, and people can check out your work at TennesseeStar.com, but you have an article out and it says Mark Meadows vows the House Freedom Caucus is choosing the next speaker. And I also saw a recent quote from Mark Meadows that he thinks there's a 50-50 chance that Donald Trump runs in 2024. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's kind of the play that everybody basically runs for president pretending they're not running for president. For some reason, it's a bad look to be running for president. And so you just have to sort of, everyone's just sort of saying, well, I had no choice. The people demanded it.
Right. They urged me to run. That's what Howie always says. I was urged.
Yeah, right. But the other thing is, if you announce you're a candidate, all of a sudden you become subject to all of these federal election commission and other campaign finance laws. And so the idea is you don't want to be a candidate until you absolutely have to be a candidate, especially if you're Donald Trump, because the FBI will just arrest you and raid your offices or whatever they do to Republicans. So I can see that. 50-50, I would put the odds a little different. I would say it is like 100% that he's running and 0% that he's not.
Really? That's interesting, Neil, because
there's no way.
I'm kind of almost venturing more to say that he's going to pass it on to someone else, but you could absolutely be right. Something else I do want to talk about is this idea that Donald Trump, like you said, the faction of the party that involves Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy, you know, the weaker kind of, and I hate to say that about Kevin McCarthy because I do like him and I think he stood by Trump for a pretty long time, but there does seem to be this group that really jumped ship at the last moment. And I agree with you. I don't think that that is where the party is going. And I also think that if Trump were to run again, his eyes are open. He does not need to back rhinos anymore. He does not need to, you know, side with people who he doesn't think really have it. And I think that's kind of the beauty. And I just want to go back to this one moment where when Trump stopped being president a few months ago, Nikki Haley had a meeting with him. She requested a meeting with him at Mar-a-Lago, and he flat out denied it. And I thought, you know, you mentioned the fact that in that first debate with Biden, he made a big mistake, and I thought so as well. But I also think a big mistake he made in his 4 years was giving these people a chance when really he needed a cabinet full of Corey Lewandowskis and real fighters and not Nikki Haley's or Mitt Romney's or Chris Christie's or Kevin McCarthy's or Liz Cheney's. And I don't know if you feel the same way, but I kind of think he learned his lesson the hard way.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Corey's a great guy, and Corey spoke truth to Trump. And, you know, Memorial Day, almost a year ago, he went to the White House and he told Trump that the campaign was going all the wrong way. He said that Brad Pascal was screwing up by the numbers. He said that Jared Kushner was running basically a crummy campaign. And he told Trump that he needed to take hold of it. And, you know, it took, you know, it was like another few months before Trump made those changes because because everything with him is based on personal experiences. His upbringing and his life as a businessman gave him great ability to see and do things that a regular politician cannot. But because he grew up and did business in New York real estate, where everything was a handshake and you could hate a guy tomorrow, but you could love him the next day. You know, it's like these relationships, you know, you could build a building with someone you hated because you both wanted to make money and you wanted to get something done. That doesn't happen in Washington. And that was his blind spot.
Yeah.
Because he thought he could win people over. He thought he could seduce Paul Ryan. He thought he could seduce Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan will hate him till the day they die. And it never occurred to him that they would just hate him and keep throwing sand in the gears, because that's just not how you work in business.
And probably worse was that he thought he could seduce reporters and the people in the media. Like, he would do these interviews with people who you knew were just going to do a complete hit job, and he just would keep going back to them. Because like you said, he always thought, hey, listen, at the end of the day, we can let bygones be bygones and kind of move on. And other people do not operate that way, especially with him. He kind of had this cavorka with people in the opposite of the Kramer way, where people hated him so much and they wouldn't care what he could do for them politically. They hated his guts. And that's what, you know, really always took control of the situation. Neil, I have to ask you, I know it just happened, but I want to get your fresh take on it. Rudy Giuliani, there's reports that the DOJ has raided his Manhattan apartment. Do you think they're going to find anything on him, or is this completely just, you know, political backstabbing?
Well, first of all, you know, it's like I'd be interested to see what the predicate for this warrant was. And it's a classic phishing operation where basically the FBI is going to seize a bunch of stuff that they have no legitimate interest. There'll be no prosecutions, but basically because they've seized it, and then we'll then see leaks in the New York Times, basically that the FBI is basically raiding the guy's business for his records, and then they will be given to his political opponents. From what I read in the New York Times, he's being investigated because of the Foreign Agency Registration Act, that he was lobbying for other countries without being registered. Between 1967 and 1988, there were two people charged under this law. One was dismissed. One was a plea bargain. Since 2018, there have been eight people convicted. Five of them were affiliated with Trump. Giuliani would be the ninth. And the guy who was running FARA up until about 3 months ago is a guy named Brandon Van Krak, who was chief counsel for the Mueller team. And as soon as he left the Mueller team, he went over to DOJ and was running the FARA desk. And he took the FARA desk and he spun it up to be a political operation to attack Republicans. And it's a sad thing. It's kind of third world, where you basically use the legal system against your political opponents. It's outrageous that you would go after a defense attorney. It's almost unheard of, but we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, no, exactly. And all I can think about when I hear this is Chuck Schumer saying they have six ways to Sunday to get back at you. And it's absolutely true. It's the deep state at work. Neil McCabe from the Tennessee Star, where can people follow you on Twitter if they want to read all your fabulous work?
They could check us out, obviously, at the Tennessee Star, but you can find me on Twitter at Neil W. McCabe 2, N-E-I-L, which is the Catholic spelling, Grace, Neil W. McCabe 2 on Twitter.
Thank you so much, Neil. We'll have you on again soon. Neil McCabe is awesome, and he always keeps me up to date on all of the breaking news. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. They both have such beautiful teeth. You can't go out to dinner with them without someone saying, wow, you have a great smile. And I know how they got it. Dr. Bruce Houghton, they talk about him all the time. And many people walk around every day and they don't feel confident about their smile. They try to kind of smile with their mouth closed, or they cover up their mouth when they talk. And that's not a fun way to live. And if you're driving around and you hear this and this makes you think, oh, I do that, this is your sign. You should really go to perfectsmiles.com. Check out their testimonial videos. You know, incredible transformations. You can see them for yourself. Howie's video's on there. Dr. Houghton really is an artist. He's also very, very kind. And he's just, you know, sometimes with dentists and stuff, you can get nervous when you get there. He's got a very calming presence. Parking is free and the staff is warm and welcoming. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Don't wait. Don't wait any longer. Change your smile. Change your life. That's perfectsmiles.com. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take a couple of your calls before producer's picks. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everybody. This is my last chance to get some sound in for before producer's picks. But first, going to do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. I love the Follinsby Inn. I talk about it all the time. I actually have posts up at gracecurlyshow.com where you can see my pictures. I've been there with my fiance, with my sister. My parents have been there. The Curly family is crazy about the Follinsby Inn. If you want to check it out, go to follinsbyinn.com. That's F-O-L-L-A-N-S-B-E-E. Go to follinsbyinn.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden's address get better ratings than the Oscars?
Well, I see this is why it's hard, because it's like anything else. Do I think they'll say, I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I don't believe anything anymore. So do I think that the media will report that he has had the highest ratings ever? Yes. He got the most votes of any president, including Barack Obama. So do I think they'll say he got high ratings? Yes. Do I think eyeballs will watch him? No.
75% of the audience says no, he will not get a better rating than the Oscars.
No. Because at least the Oscars, I mean, I don't even know. That's bad, too. But it's not as depressing because none of those people are in charge of the country, you know? They're not the leader of the free world.
Don't tell them that.
I know, seriously. One thing I want to talk about here, because I heard a lot of people mentioning it today, the cuts of Joe Biden from yesterday. He went outside, he walked down this really long ramp, and he decided to give a speech. Now, what most people noticed was he wore a mask by himself outside. I didn't understand, Jared, why it got that much attention, because he posts photos of himself all the time walking through the White House outside by himself with the mask on. But I think it got most of the attention because he was announcing that you don't have to wear masks outside. In fact, what I did not realize until today was that he actually announced a big update on picnics. This is cut three.
Beginning today, gathering with a group of friends in a park, going for a picnic, as long as you are vaccinated and outdoors, you can do it without a mask.
Aw, thanks, Joe. I can't wait to go for a picnic. Maybe have a sandwich. Who's been waiting on this? Who's been waiting on Joe Biden to tell you what to do? If that's the case, you need to get your head checked. I also want to play, does he mention the picnic again? That cannot be right. Cut four?
But they're also about helping to get us get back to closer to normal in our living, more normal living. Getting together with friends, going to the park for a picnic without needing to mask up.
You know what it is, and I don't want to be mean here, which is how you know I'm going to be mean if I have to start it with that. But it is like a grandparent when they do one thing, that they get one thing on their mind, you know, and they just keep talking about it. Like the last time it was July 4th, and now it's the picnic. The picnic is the big thing. But I think the weirdest part was when he was asked about why he wore it outside by Peter Alexander. Do we have that cut?
Sir, you chose to wear a mask. You chose to wear a mask as you walked out here. What message were you sending by wearing a mask outside alone?
By watching me take it off and not put it back on till I get inside.
Ba-dum-boom. Everything's like the Fonz.
So normal.
By watching me put it on when I take it off when I go outside. How do you like that? It's like, okay, we get it, sir. You know what the craziest part of that clip is? Because a lot of people have been mentioning that today. You know how Peter Alexander actually asked him the question. The craziest part is if you think about Peter Alexander, he was the one who Trump said, Trump really called him out one time, and there's this hilarious picture of him going like this. It's like a woe is me picture. He's like, you're accusing me of being a bad journalist? And in this case, if you watch that cut of him talking to Joe Biden, when Joe Biden makes that cringeworthy, not funny comeback,
watch me put it on when I go outside.
Peter Alexander, it's like the emoji with the hard eyes. He is transfixed. He's smiling like, oh, you are the best, Joe. We love you. We'll be back on the other side with producer's picks. Don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Well, it took a really long time, but Ted Wheeler has finally decided that he's had enough of Antifa. He said enough is enough. Can we play this cut, Jared? This is Ted Wheeler, cut 8.
We must stand together as a community against this ongoing criminal intimidation and violence. They want to burn. They want to bash. They want to intimidate. They want to assault. These people often arrive at their so-called direct actions in cars.
Hold on. They're all dressed in all black. Ted Wheeler is the mayor of Portland, in case you didn't know. And they have a lot of violence happening there. But I was told by several people, including Joy Behar, that Antifa doesn't even exist. So I have no idea what he's talking about. We will not have that kind of agitprop on this show. That kind of fake news, that kind of Russian disinformation. Ted Wheeler, take it elsewhere, not up in here. All right, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
Now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
All righty, you guys know how this goes. Jared Diglio is my wonderful producer. He tells us all the stories that he thinks you need to know. Go ahead, Jared.
All right, well, to misquote the captain, or to quote the captain, try not to let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the cable news network.
Fabulous.
CNN Business is investigating a culture of how it treats women, according to a staff insider.
This is interesting because recently Brooke Baldwin, who you guys remember, she was an anchor on one of the programs on CNN, and she did talk a little bit about how I'm not sure if she was involved in CNN Business, but she did say how some of the business at CNN, or some of the leadership, it's mostly male. And I think she was on a podcast, and she just kind of went into the fact that there could be more representation for women. I'm paraphrasing on a summary I read. So
yeah, she gave that quote in an interview to Ms. Magazine, actually. Where she said, the most influential anchors on the network, the highest paid are men. My bosses, my executives are men. The person who oversees CNN Dayside is a man. My executive producer for 10 years is a man.
Yeah, so, you know, revolutions eat their own, and CNN is always encouraging this kind of equality, so it makes sense that now it's happening to them.
Yes, not a ton of faith in CNN's internal investigations, but the real question is, how is this going to affect any gender-neutral potato heads?
There's no time for potato heads.
That they may have in their employ.
Can we talk about internal investigations? Like how counterproductive they must be? I mean, remember with the whole Matt Lauer thing when NBC was like, oh, we're gonna look into this. I'm like, you guys are the same company that he has a desk at where there's a button that locks the door when he shuts it. Like, you're the ones investigating him? Huh? Am I crazy? It just seems like you need to bring in someone from the outside.
Yeah, that would be like having the Department of Justice investigate itself. You know, James Comey is going to investigate Peter Strzok or something like that.
Right.
You know, it's just ridiculous. Somewhat sad news to report. Michael Collins, the third astronaut on the Apollo 11 mission, died today.
Oh.
Yes, he was the one who did not walk on the moon, so his nickname is the Forgotten Astronaut. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin were the astronauts who were on the moon. They went down, but Michael Collins actually stayed up and minded the store and flew the command center. So he has passed on. That was his last space mission, actually, was Apollo 11.
That is, how old was he, Jared?
He was 90.
Nice, long life. It is interesting to think about, though, how they decided who was going to get to go walk on the moon, you know?
Pretty sure it was rock, paper, scissors.
Really?
No, I don't.
Pull straws, maybe? I don't know, because that would be a situation where I'm like, I'm all the way here. You know what I mean? I came all the way there.
Yeah, but somebody had to make sure they got back up.
No, totally. I just, if I were one of the three, I would really be petitioning to get myself on the moon. I'd be like, guys, I made this long trip. Can I just, Can I just put a toe down, just a toe, and then I'll walk right back? Why can't we do a switcheroo?
You guys come back up, and then I'll go back down. Yeah. We'll bring some extra fuel, you know?
Just seems like they could have compromised a little bit. But rest in peace.
Rest in peace,
great
Michael
American.
Collins. This is interesting. This came out. Joe Biden is delivering a joint or an address to a joint session of Congress, which is not the State of the Union. And that's made even more clear by the fact that there is no designated survivor tonight. For people unfamiliar with the concept, the designated survivor is that during the State of the Union, everybody in government is in one place. And usually there is one cabinet member that is kept at a different location. So that way, in case something does happen, there is at least one, if there is a massive catastrophe, there's at least one person who is in charge of the country and has, you know, got the directions, and they sort of become the president and handle anything that needs to be done. There was a TV show about it with, Kiefer Sutherland, I think, was in it. But there's no designated survivor tonight ahead of Biden's joint address to Congress because COVID restrictions, not everybody's there, and most of the cabinet for the first time will be watching from home. So there really wasn't a need for a designated survivor.
Yeah, and I think they always do this, right? For your first year, they do a joint session, and then the next time it's a State of the Union. Yeah, either way, I'm not watching, so all good there. we'll play the clips tomorrow, though. Don't worry, guys. I know you're all sitting at home going, wait, what? If you guys aren't watching, who are we going to get the recap from? We'll watch it tomorrow. We're just, you know, on our spare time at our homes, we are not going to subject ourselves to that.
Yes, I'm assuming it's only going to be 10 minutes anyway, so that's something we could watch in the morning.
And then they're going to give him the giant hook, and he's like, wait, let me put my aviators on. I'm going to get in trouble for this.
Where's my mask, Dr. Joe? Where's my mask? Don't know if you heard about this over the weekend, but in Lincoln, Nebraska, the Josh fight happened.
I saw this!
Yeah, I've had it in the queue for a couple days. There was other stuff, but yes.
They all had noodles. The what are they called?
Pool noodles.
Pool noodles.
Yep. The Josh fight was a viral internet meme and mock fight at Air Park in Lincoln, Nebraska this past Saturday. It was originally conceived by a civil engineering student named Josh Swain from Arizona, and he basically put together a Facebook Messenger group where really the premise is, all right, there are so many people named Josh, only one of us can be named Josh. So if your name is Josh, meet in Nebraska at these coordinates, and we're going to have a battle royale to decide once and for all who gets to keep the name Josh. And everybody who loses, you have to change your name. This was kind of organized last year, but it never happened because of COVID and various other things. So they had it this past year.
You know what?
This past weekend.
Normally, I would be judgmental about this story, and I would say, once again, hobbies. We need hobbies in this country. But actually, compared to criticizing people for not wearing masks, this counts as a hobby. So if you're gathering to fight over your name being Josh and you're not telling people what to do, then more power to you. Josh is Josh's.
And actually, the gathering raised almost $12,000 for the CH&MC and collected over 200 pounds of food for a nearby food bank. So
there
they did a good job. The winner, a 4-year-old local boy named Josh Vincent Jr., dubbed Little Josh, although now I guess he would just be Josh. He'd been treated at the Children's Hospital and Medical Center in Omaha for seizures when he was 2 years old. He was crowned with a paper crown from Burger King, as well as a replica AEW World Championship belt.
Very cool.
So that was kind of a cool, fun little story.
You know what that just made me think of, though? You said Lil Josh. I always think of when you name someone a junior. Or, you know, it more happens with women because you'd be surprised, Jared, but especially in like South Boston and stuff, women would name their daughters after them. And then what happens inevitably is one of the women becomes, now let's just say, I'm trying to think of a name here, any name, like Anna. Then you got Big Anna and Little Anna. And I just, that's one reason I would never name someone after me, because I don't want to be Big Grace or Little Grace. I just want to be Grace, you know? Just a thought. These are the things, guys, that are going on in my head.
All right. So in the continuing theme of insane people on the internet, yesterday we had the Saki Bomb singer The day before was the kid at the vaccine event singing Dr. Fauci to Sandman. This is a quick one. This is Sonia Music on Somaya Music, on TikTok. And this was her take on vaccinations and the masks.
I don't care if I'm fully vaccinated. Until I see Dr. Fauci himself making out with a stranger, my mask is staying on.
See, I hate that. Like, why do people want this to keep going? Why do you want there to be zero people with this thing until you're going to loosen up your own restrictions? It's so stupid. I get that it's supposed to be funny, like, ha, ha, ha. But it's sending out the complete wrong message, like we're never going to get out of this thing.
First of all, there's so many things wrong with that. But I don't want to see Dr. Fauci make out with anybody.
I don't want to see Dr. Fauci, period.
Just look up.
No. You won't see him. You got it in, Jared.
I had to.
He gets one a day. I'm sick of seeing him, period. I don't need to see him on my TV. I don't need to see him on my story printouts. I'm good. I got my fair share of Dr. Fauci for the next 10 years. If I don't hear about Dr. Fauci for the rest of my life, it will be too damn soon.
All right. And sad news posthumously for Orson Welles. Citizen Kane, the famous movie, which, you know, if you've studied film at all, you know it broke ground with editing techniques and scratching film and the story and the way it was done, everything. It was the only movie on Rotten Tomatoes, the rating site, with 100% rating. However, that has fallen. A recently unearthed review from 1941 mocked the masterpiece, and now it only has a rating of 99%. So, Citizen Kane, we hardly know ye.
Yeah, well, you can't win them all. 1941.
Citizen Kane! It was Citizen Kane! It was Citizen Kane! It was Citizen Kane!
Yeah, I hear about Citizen Kane a lot. I've never seen it.
Okay, it's a very good movie. A little overrated.
It's a very good movie, but like, it's a 99% good movie. You know what I mean? There's that 1% where it could have improved a little bit. Guys, when we get back on the other side, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr about all of the big stories of the day. So do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Dr. Fauci is at it again. I guess he was on with Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show. Backtracking on the masks outdoors, I believe, based off what I'm seeing on Twitter, he's saying that kids should be wearing masks outside. He'll change it tomorrow, so don't get too upset about it. It goes minute by minute, so I'll keep you posted on that. Now joining me is the one and only Howie Carr. Howie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Did he see the picture of that female high school track star collapsing at the finish line after a sprint? She still set a school record, but she passed out as she was at the finish line. Her coach said she was wearing a mask during a sprint for oxygen deprivation. She only ended up with a concussion, but her coach, 31 years coaching track and field, he said he'd never seen anything like it. And the state of Oregon, or Katie Brown. As crazy as Gretchen Whitmer or Charlie Parker, she changed the rules.
Right. And
but Fauci wants to go back to having masks for kids outside. Okay, I got you.
And Tucker Carlson, I actually want to play this cut for you, Howie. He pointed out that this is basically child abuse, making these kids wear masks, and Fauci did not like that. But let's play Tucker's original comment, cut 24.
As for forcing children to wear masks outside, that should be illegal. Your response when you see children wearing masks as they play should be no different from your response to seeing someone beat a kid in Walmart. Call the police immediately. Contact Child Protective Services. Keep calling until someone arrives. What you're looking at is abuse. It's child abuse, and you are morally obligated to attempt to prevent it.
And Howie, I interviewed Chris DeGaulle a few months ago, and I'll never forget when he said it because I thought, wow, it really struck me. He said sometimes watching his kids learn via the computer and just sit there and get depressed, he said, it feels like I'm partaking in child abuse by letting them sit there and kind of like their brains are rotting. And I absolutely agree. It just at this point, we seem like we're being overly cruel to people for making them follow these restrictions that there's no basis to them anymore.
Well, there isn't, obviously. But again, I think the only way to get rid of these dictators is to defeat them at the polls next year. Just force them from office. I mean, this should be the campaign theme for 2022, shouldn't it? In a very large degree, you know, stop the insanity here.
Oh, I'm hoping that there's an absolute red wave in 2022. But I will remind you, Howie, Dr. Fauci doesn't run for anything. I mean, nobody ever right. cast a vote for him. He just gets to go out there. Actually, let's take a listen to what he said recently with Savannah Guthrie. This is the latest Fauci remark.
When are kids going to be able to take off those masks and play outside at the playground?
You know, that's going to be the same thing that I mentioned a moment ago. It's going to be a situation. Well, first of all, kids will ultimately wind up getting vaccinated, but you want to have some activity in that direction before they do. High school kids will likely get vaccinated as we get into the fall term, and children of any age will likely be vaccinated by the time we get to the end of the year. But let's not talk about the end of the year. Let's talk about the immediate or intermediate future. When children are out in the community, when you have 30, 40, 50,000 new infections per day, they are unvaccinated now because children can't get vaccinated now. And for
he just
that reason,
you know what, Starry, he just talks absolute nonsense. He's not saying anything.
Yeah, I know it. It's ragtime. It's like Joe Biden talking about creating jobs. It makes no sense.
Or Howie picnics. That's his new thing. He's big on picnics. I don't know if you heard that.
No, we played many, many cuts yesterday about the picnics.
I'm like, what is this? This is some fond memory of his. It's been a while since
someone
I heard
has
about
to
picnics.
Someone has to tell, Mr. President, you know, with the picnics, people are not listening to your advice on whether or not they're going to have a picnic this weekend, let alone the 4th of July.
Well, that's the funny thing, Howie, is I always say that every single thing, whether it's Marty Walsh or Charlie Baker or Dr. Fauci, every single thing they've told us not to do, it's tempted Howie to do it. Things that Howie never had interest in, like throwing a Patriots party, trick-or-treating, like everything.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking,
I'm still not going to take any deviled eggs to my picnic. But, you know, maybe I'll have some ham sandwiches and potato salads and potato chips and stuff like that. The usual picnic stuff.
But, Howie, I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, I had no idea we weren't allowed to go on picnics till now. I would have been going on them out of spite for months and months and months. All right, guys, don't go anywhere. Howie's got a jam-packed show for you today. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. This is Grace Curley.